Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about darkness. Oswald Chambers says, "Oh, the unspeakable benediction of the treasures of darkness." That's a reference to Isaiah 45:3, where God says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness." But for the night in the natural world, we should know nothing of moon or stars, or of all the incommunicable thoughtfulness of the midnight. So, spiritually, it is not the days of sunshine and splendor and liberty and light that leave their lasting and indelible effect upon the soul, but those nights of the spirit in which, shadowed by God's hand, hidden in the dark cleft of some rock in a weary land, he lets the splendors of the outskirts of himself pass before our gaze. It is such moments as these that insulate the soul from worldliness and keep it in an otherworldliness while carrying on work for the Lord and communion with him in this present evil world. Did you recognize his reference to Moses being placed in a cleft of the rock and shadowed by God's hand? You know, Moses had prayed that God would show him his glory, and so the Lord hid him in a rock and covered him with his hand. And Moses did see the glory of God. He saw the back, as it were, which is a mysterious passage to me because we know that God is spirit. But this same story has been referred to in a hymn, which is one of my favorites. "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see." I love the old hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee." And I think of the fact that God is the eternal rock of ages, but he was willing to be split, to be pierced with a sword, to be nailed to a cross, and out of his side flowed blood and water. He's the rock of ages, cleft for me. And there are times when he does allow the splendors of the outskirts of himself pass before our gaze, as he did in Moses' case. It's in such a moment that we are kept from worldliness and kept in an otherworldliness as we carry on God's work in an evil world. There's a man from, I think, New Zealand, if I am not mistaken. I met him years ago, a very young man and a very powerful speaker. His name is Winky. Yes, as far as I know, that is his real name. I've never heard him referred to as anything else. Winky Pratney. Some of you know Winky Pratney. And he wrote a very good article on darkness. And he describes it this way. He says, the first thing that happens is this. There's a strange sense of emptiness in your life. There's no sign of God. You sit in services and take your usual notes. The message is great, but there's no answering chord of response in your heart. You get on your knees and you tell God you don't feel so good. Prayer usually changes things, but this time there seems to be no light from heaven. So you go to hear teaching that has always excited you, fully expecting inspiration to flow like streams of living water, and nothing. You walk out of the service in which everyone else touched God, and you say to yourself, what in the world have I done? Perhaps you think it's unconfessed sin. You apologize to everybody. You write letters of confession to your grade school teacher. You go through everything you can possibly think of, but it's still the same. Nothing. Then you think, aha, of course, it's the devil. I haven't taken my authority in Christ. And so you do, and still nothing. What you're going through is not new. It came to every major man or woman in Scripture. And he mentions some of those incidents in the Bible. An unsaved girl who had been attending a Christian college once asked me a profound question. Do Christians really love Christ, or do they just love the good feelings that come from loving Christ? Job faced the same question when his world fell apart, and God did not seem to answer. Sheltered in the personal care of God, he had walked secure in the knowledge that God, his friend, was also his protector and provider. He too was a man who feared the Lord, who walked in obedience, who trusted him. Satan's challenge to God over Job was simple. He said, in effect, sure, Job loves and worships you. Why not? You give him everything he wants. Take away the presents, and he'll be just the same as one of my crowd. So God let Satan test Job, and Job came through, but barely. He faced the darkness that is the most fearsome of all to the child of God. Not the darkness of sin or ignorance or demons, but the divine darkness, which is the withdrawn sense of the presence of God. What can we do to get out of this darkness? Nothing. Nothing at all. There's nothing that you can do to get out of the darkness if it is God who puts you into it. That's why all your usual remedies fail. All your counselors draw a blank, and all your frustrated attempts come to an eventual, exhausted end. The darkness of God is given by Him, and it will not lift until it has accomplished its work in your soul. Remember, your soul is like a flower, and flowers need night's cool darkness. You cannot escape it, but you can live through it. And these are Winky Pratney's three suggestions as to what to do while you're in the darkness. Do your duty, nevertheless. That's the first thing. What do you do when you're going through the darkness? You say, Lord, I know that this is a hard place, but what shall I do? Nothing. Silence. Well, you say, at least show me what to do. Nothing. Yet, what is the person in Isaiah 50, verse 10, doing, walking in the darkness and finding no light? Look carefully. He's walking. The first thing you must do when the darkness comes is to do your duty. Keep going in the same direction you were going when the darkness came. You must continue your daily routine. What did God say to you before you went into the darkness? What was your call when the voice of God was clear? Then keep on doing it. Keep on walking. Nothing has changed on the path except your perception of it. Do your duty nevertheless, and keep walking, even when the lights go out. Perhaps that is exactly the message that somebody needs to hear today. Keep walking, even when the lights go out. And here's his second suggestion. Trust in the name of the Lord. Let him who has no light trust in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, says Proverbs 18:10. The righteous runs into it and is safe. And those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. Psalm 9, verse 10. His name is descriptive of what he is, and he is there. He is the uncreated, unchanging, unshakable God. He is what he always is, and he has not changed in the darkness. God never changes, in the darkness or in the light. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is exactly the same. Isn't it wonderful to know that there is one who never changes? Yesterday, today, and forever. And he is not missing because you can't see him. He's committed in everlasting covenant to you. He is faithful, and he will remain faithful. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, that is a verse in the Bible, Hebrews 13:8. So you get on your knees and you say, "Oh God, I don't feel you. I don't get any zap from you. I don't feel your presence." But you're there. Nevertheless, you're there because your word does not change. And the third suggestion as to what to do in the darkness, remember who God is. Here's something else you can do. In this time of darkness, go over in your mind what God has already done in your life. Those things aren't just little dreams in the back of your head. They really did happen. God really did do them. Yes, He heard my prayers. Yes, when I was in the worst situation that I could ever imagine being in so many years ago. Now I know, as I look back, God was there. He never left me. He was there all the time. I might even be talking to somebody today who's contemplating suicide. God knows your thought. God's right there beside you, saying, "You are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Don't take your life. Give it to me. You're not your own. I made you. Give me your life. I can change it for you." Remember who He is. Remember what His character is. When you can't see the way, open the book, the Bible, the guidebook, and read again what He is like. Recall what He's already done. What have you seen of God in your own experience? Once you said, "I have seen His hand, I know what He's like, and I am committed to Him forever." Did you really mean that? Others before you have walked in the darkness. They too have found that faith is not something you hold, but someone who holds you. Three suggestions what to do in the darkness. Do your duty, trust in His name, remember who God is.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.